Okay, you understand what I mean by that. We are so blessed to have about 35 people at Merge Church in Conroe today as they launch a brand new baby church out there. And we are so excited to be able to partner with them in doing that. And I'm excited that even though we are here, that God is just as much at work in our midst as he is there. And I can't wait to hear from those that are going to be coming back with stories of how the Lord has been working in their lives, even as they are a part of this launch. And so we just give God all the glory for what he's doing here and there. Continue to be praying for them. This is a tremendous day to be able to launch this off and everything. But they're going to be meeting so many new people. So be praying for Pastor Ephraim and all those that are going to be following up. This is the kind of day where not only do people get saved through just this awesome new thing that's happening there, but there are relationships that are being built. And I want to invite you to be praying for Merge Church as they just continue to build those relationships out. It's a really powerful thing, and we have a big part of that, even if we're not there this morning. So continue to be praying for them. Here today, we are going to continue on in our series called The Beginning. And we're going to be, over these 4 weeks here, we're looking at the first five chapters of the book of Genesis. And so last week we looked at creation and how it is that not only has God created all that is, but he is still creating some things. And we see that there's some very similar patterns that are happening in our lives today that happened even as God created all that is for today. This week we're going to get into chapter 3 as we look into the fall and where sin came from and how it is that we need to respond to that as well. So let me read for you. I'm gonna just jump right into this scripture here, and then we'll pray and get going. So Genesis chapter 3, and I want to read for you verses 1-7. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1-7. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'For God knows that that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for your holy word, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear from you and from your word. I ask, God, that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, Father, and that you would give us all the revelation that we need, Father, that you would give us the courage to respond to your word. God, I pray that whatever it is that may have been holding us back up until this point, God, I pray that you would break those things down in the name of Jesus, that we might walk in obedience with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before Isaiah could sleep through the night, he wore an Ohio State football jersey. It was actually bigger than he was, because I couldn't find a jersey to fit an infant. But it was necessary in my eyes that if he's in the house on a Saturday, he's got to be dressed appropriately, right? Right. That was before he could sleep through the night. Daniel also had a jersey from very early on. Don't worry, Liliana, she had a cheerleading uniform, which she really loved. That was back when we could actually get her to wear a skirt. But they all had their uniforms for the day, right? And we would go all out, right? And we still do. So we have certain traditions on Saturday football days, you know, when Ohio State's playing. For example, we always get a bag of pistachios. It has nothing to do with Ohio State. It has nothing to do with football. That's just something we started doing. When the kids were really, really small, they couldn't crack their own, which was really annoying. And so I spent my whole time cracking pistachios and handing nuts off, and I didn't get to eat nothing. But so they would just wait for me to crack them and then hand them out, and then they would eat the pistachios, and there I am still hungry. But they loved it, right? It was something about that whole thing. Somehow, I don't know exactly how we got into this, but somehow we also started, they wanted cream soda to drink, like, but out of the glass bottles, not out of the cans, because that's just weird, right? So we would have pistachios and cream soda out of a glass bottle, and so, like, every Saturday, that's just what we do. This is like a tradition now that we put together, right? We do weird things, like, we don't say, I don't know how to say this without saying it. We refer to our rival as the team up north. We don't actually speak their name, right? Because it would just be offensive. We don't say the M word, right? In fact, we try to avoid the letter M at all costs the week of Thanksgiving because it's just too close to rivalry day, right? Those are just traditions that we have. Those are just things that we do. Those are things that my children have come up in, whether they like it or not, to be honest with you, right? Now, truth be told, they're older now, right? They're dressing themselves these days for the most part, right? And they're making their own food choices, right? They're deciding if they're watching whatever on TV and this kind of stuff. But, you know, it is interesting because all of my children will not all of my children. Most of my children will put on some kind of Ohio State attire on a Saturday. They're dressing themselves, right? I'm not laying their clothes out or anything like that. That's just what they're doing. Even when the game is on, and again, the game is going to be on, right? I mean, if it's on TV, we don't have cable, so if it's on like ABC or something like that, it's going to be on. And they will decide to sit in the living room with me and watch the game, right? Now, different ones have different degrees of interest in the game, right? But they will. They'll make the choice to come and to actually watch the game themselves. And they'll actually get excited about it, right? Like, if Ohio State scores a touchdown and I lose my mind, like, most of the time, like, all three of them are right in there with me. And sometimes it's because I'm on top of them. But whatever the case may be, like, it's like a whole thing. But they're like, in it as well, right? Like, they're high-fiving and chest-bumping and whatever. We're doing the whole thing there. Now, the reason I mention all of that is because this is actually a really good illustration for what the theological idea of what is called original sin, right? Now, what as we read the story here about Adam and Eve, the idea is that Adam and Eve have disobeyed God, which in its truest form is really the definition of sin. It's the disobedience of what God is telling us to do and who God is telling us to be. And when they committed this sin, not only did they commit this sin, but that sin was also passed down generationally. And so even before we had a chance to decide one way or the other, this sin nature, or what is referred to in the Bible as the flesh as well, was passed down to us, much like I passed down to my children the love for Ohio State, right? Now, the other side of that, though, is that not only did we have this passed down to us in the flesh, but then we have also made choices of our own. Now, these choices of our own may have been influenced by that sin nature in the flesh that was passed down to us, but the truth is that we have all made choices of our own as well. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that being Adam, and death through sin, and in this way came death, death came to all people, because all sinned." See, we have this sin nature that was passed down to us, but then we have also all chosen to disobey God ourselves. Like eating the fruit, it's this idea of just simply disobeying God. If you think about it, this original sin that Adam and Eve committed, really, it really wasn't that big of a deal, right? I mean, they ate fruit. Like, if I could get my kids to eat fruit, like, that would be awesome. That wouldn't be a sin. That would be a blessing from God right there, right? So it's not like God gave them all of this fruit and they decided they were going to go chug a Mountain Dew or something like that. You know, that what Adam and Eve did, like, the act itself was not really all that bad. But it was simply the fact that what they did was not what God told them to do. See, I think the reason why I mention this is because sometimes I think we look at sin and we start comparing ourselves to one another and we think, oh, well, what I'm doing is really not all that bad. Like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not even hurting myself. But what it all comes down to is, are we actually doing what God has told us to do? Are we being obedient to God's word? Are we being obedient to the Holy Spirit inside of us? Like, are we actually saying yes to God? Or are we just justifying our polite disobedience? Right? This is the beginning of sin. The beginning of sin started with Adam and Eve, but that beginning of sin happens in us when we decide, you know what? I know God is telling me to do this, but instead I'm going to do this. That's where sin begins. And it doesn't have to be big stuff. You don't have to be a mass murderer or rob a bank or anything like that. Like all it is you knowing the truth and not doing that truth, not walking in that truth, not submitting to that truth. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, this is actually good news for all of us, because many times we look at ourselves and we can see how bad we are, right? We are reminded each and every day of where we are lacking. We remember the choices that we have made. We know that we have not always lined up with God. But sometimes we see other people and we think, man, I wish I could have a perfect life just like they have a perfect life. Right? Oh, pastor, pastor has it all together. I sure wish I had a faith like pastor had. I sure wish I never sinned like pastor never sinned. Well, come talk to my wife. She could probably tell you otherwise. And so we see other people, and sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, well, if I could just be like that person, man, that would be awesome. But the truth of the matter is that even that person, no matter who you're talking about, right? And Betty Wilcox, I don't like to put you on the spot, but I'm going to mention you right here. Do you know even Betty Wilcox has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Amen. No, I'm for real now. I know. I mentioned her because I know y'all were going to do that and, like, giggle about that. But it's true, y'all. Like, think about this. Like we see Betty and Leo and how just amazing they are, how strong their faith is, and just what an example they are. And they are an example for us. Don't get me wrong. But they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if all they are going to do is stand before God in their own righteousness, they are not going to make it into heaven. I know it got a little quiet in here. It's all right. It's good news, though, because there's more to the story, right? Everyone that you look at has fallen short of God's glory. You are no different than anyone else in that way. Your sin might be different. Maybe the way in which you went about it may have been different, but as we all stand before it, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God at some point in our lives. Now, some of that was handed down to us, that sin nature that came from Adam and Eve, but the other part of it is that we have made choices ourselves. And so What do we do with that? How do we overcome what we've been born into, and how do we overcome these choices that we have made? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22, it says, since death came through a man, and again, this is all pointing back to Genesis 3 here with Adam and Eve. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Let me help you break this down here just a little bit. When sin entered into our lives, as Eve had the conversation with the serpent and said that if she would take of the fruit that she would die, and the serpent said, oh, you will surely not die. And in a manner of speaking, what he said was the truth, in that it's not like she choked on the apple and knocked off, right? But had she not, there is nothing, as we have recorded in Scripture, that would limit the days of her life at all until she ate of that. So death did enter into humanity as she and Adam both. Again, I want to be very clear when I talk about one or the other. I'm talking about both. They were both there and all this kind of stuff. I don't want anybody coming up to pastor afterwards like, well, you know Adam ate the fruit too, right? Like, I know he was there. It's all right. I'm not pushing blame on anybody, all right? It's all bad, all right? It's all bad. But when they did this, like, death entered in. And so, like, and this is what's really important for us to recognize. When we sin, when we are disobedient to God, that is an expression of the death that we are in. So that's why, like, last week when we did Shelby's baptism, that's why we baptize people the way that we do. Because when people go down under the water, that's a symbolism of the fact that we are putting to death the sin that is in our lives. And then when we come up out of that water, she's being raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Like, we need to recognize the weight of the sin that is in our lives. It's not just something to play with. It's not okay. Well, if I don't do it too bad, then it's all right. No. Sin brings death. And sometimes we find ourselves living in this death for so long that we don't know what it is to really be alive, right? Now here's what's really cool in all this. Because even in the death of our sin, even as we are living in the consequences of our sin, God still sees us. I just want you to get that today. This is so important. You have not sinned so much that God has turned his back on you. Like, even if you have turned your back on God, he has not turned his back on you. Like, he still sees you. Like, and I know that to be true because the Bible tells me that when I pray a prayer of repentance to God, not only does he hear my prayer, but he answers my prayer, and he forgives my sins, and he makes me just and righteous before him. Now, if God couldn't hear a sinner's prayer, then how in the world could that be possible? See, God sees you. Even if you aren't looking at him. Isn't that crazy? Like, let that sink in for a second, right? Because some of us have been hiding from God just like Adam and Eve would eventually here. And I don't even have time to get into all of that here of how they hid from God. And God comes around and is like, hey guys, where are you? Oh, well, we were ashamed. They're hiding from God. But God knows where they are. God knows where you are too. And he's not looking away from you because of the sin that's in your life. In fact, he's looking at you because he's longing for you to come back to him. See, our sin is not the end of our story. This sin nature, this flesh that we have been given, is that's not the end of our story. The choices that we've made in our past, that is not the end of our story. That's not where things stop. In fact, God saw our sin and loved us so much that he actually sent his own son to come and to die that we might be able to have life. Not live in the death that we were born into, not live in the death that we've chosen for ourselves, but that we might be able to choose Him, to put our faith in Him, to recognize that He is, in fact, our Savior, and that we need a Savior because of the sin in our lives. That because of our faith in Him, He's made a way for us to be free from sin. Not just to be forgiven, but to actually live a new life where sin doesn't have to control everything that we do. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, right? And this is not from yourselves. It's not anything you could do for yourself. It's a gift from God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. Watch this. This is kind of crazy here. There is nothing you needed to do to receive a sin nature, right? That Adam and Eve already took care of all that. We were born into this flesh of sin. We were born into that. Now we've made our own choices as well, but there's nothing we had to do to receive that. It was just already ours just by being born. But here's what's crazy too. There's nothing we can do to get out of that sin nature either. There's nothing we can do. We can't be good enough, right? How in the world could we be good enough to overcome an eternal punishment that we have earned, right? It's not possible. We can't do enough good things to overcome the bad things that we've done, right? We can't. There's no such thing as doing enough works that all of a sudden everything is okay. That's just not how it works. The only way that we can receive this gift is to put our faith in Jesus. It's not something that we earn. It's not something we work toward. It's something that we receive. We recognize that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. We recognize that He died for our sins and that our sins demanded a punishment and that Jesus paid that price for our lives. And when we put our faith in Him, we receive the grace that Jesus has for us. We can't earn it. We can't earn it. But there is a way that we need to respond. Let me read for you out of 1 John chapter 3. And I think this is such an important part of the story of the fall here, because we can't just look at how sin started. We've got to look at where sin is supposed to end, right? Watch this now. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." Talking about Jesus. Verse 8, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning," going all the way back to Genesis 3 again, right? "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Church, I got good news for you today. I got super good news for you today. There is nothing that the devil has done in your life that Jesus has not overcome. There is no temptation that the devil has brought into your mind that Jesus has not overcome. There's no choice that you have made in your past that Jesus has not overcome. There is no work of the devil that Jesus has not been victorious over. I need to understand this today. I know that we have an enemy, and I know the devil is trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you need to understand today, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and He was successful. He accomplished His mission. When He died on the cross, all of that was taken care of. We are able to be set free no matter what the devil has done in your life. Jesus has overcome all of that, and you can be set free even today. Amen. What we do is not does not work toward earning our salvation. Only the death of Jesus on the cross could accomplish that for us. That's the only thing that accomplishes. However, what we do ought to be the divine expression expression of gratitude that we give to God for what Jesus has done for us. See, when you look at a church, at a group of people like this, and you see people that, like these are some super good people, much like Betty and Leo Wilcox, right? Like these are just amazing people and everything. I just want you to know, like, God didn't save them because they're amazing people. They're amazing people because God saved them. Amen. Do you see that difference there? This is really, really important to get. That's why, and I want you to hear this very clearly. When I baptize people, I'm not baptizing people that have everything together in their lives. No, I'm baptizing people so that they can get started and respond to God with the gratitude of them being saved by grace through faith. If you could live a perfect life without faith, I wouldn't want you to live for God. I mean, just think about that. If you could live a righteous life before you actually submit your life to God, I wouldn't want you to submit your life to God. Why would you need Him? However, when we recognize the fact that the same way that sin came into our lives through one man and death came with it, sin also can be taken from our lives through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You can't earn it, but we do have a response to it. And that is that when we receive what God has done for us, then we ought to change our lives and live in such a way that we would be looked at as righteous. Not righteous to earn salvation, but righteous because God is good enough for us to change our lives. See, that's really what it comes down to. And worship team, come on back up here before I keep talking. That's really what it comes down to. See, when we submit our lives to God through relationship with Jesus Christ, really what we're saying is, Lord, I'm tired of living life for myself. I'm tired of being selfish. I'm tired of making life about me. God, I'm going to submit my life to You. I'm going to let You be in control. I'm going to let You guide what I do. I am going to be obedient to You and to Your word, even when it's not what I want to do. That's salvation. That's what it means to live for Him. And so, we're going to sing a couple of songs here in just a moment. And I just want us all to respond to what God is doing even in our hearts right now. The truth of the matter is that the beginning of sin happened in a variety of ways for all of us. We all received it from Adam and Eve, but we've all received it ourselves. We've all sinned and fallen short. But what if today is not just the day we're reminded of how sinful we are, but what if today is the day that we remember that this can be the beginning of new life as well? This isn't just the day that we remember the fall, but let today be the day that we remember the beginning of getting back up, of living for Him, of setting our lives, our focus on Him, not to earn salvation, but as a thank you for moving us from death to life. I want to invite you to stand with me, please, as we sing. The altars are open. Feel free to come and to pray. If you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus today, and you say, you know what? Like, I've been living selfishly for too long, and I just want to live for God. I want to live a life of thanks to God for what He's done for me in sending His Son to die on a cross. Like, I want that life. I want you to know there are people all over the place who will pray for you. I'm going to be standing right over here. If you want me to pray for you,